those that just say, hey, you know what, we're just going to silence you. ACLU saying, hey, RFRA, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, we're going to do what we can to get rid of it. We, in fact, while we're at it, maybe just get rid of your tax exemption as well. We will silence you. Whether it's the president spiking the ball by lighting up the White House in rainbow colors, whether it's the name callers, whether it's the bad political actors, the shamers saying, hey, you know, I'm just so disappointed in you. And I know you Christians, you just shouldn't get on your high horse. I would argue that all of these things are poisonous to public discourse, whether it's, you know, hard-hitting debate, legitimate fun, satire, when we start getting mean or playing the victim card, calling everybody racist, whatever it is, we are destroying public discourse. I wanted to talk a bit with Senator Ellen Roberts. She is a senator from Durango, one of my favorite parts of the state. And, you know, a faithful Republican, we have some disagreements on a couple of issues, but a good Republican, a good legislator, and yet she has come under fire from the left in a way that I would say is absurd. You know, I think I mentioned earlier that Bobby Jindal, according to the left, just isn't Indian enough to be credible. I would say that leftists are saying that Ellen Roberts is not woman enough, or, you know, she calls herself pro-choice. She's just not pro-choice enough. And I think that's where legitimate debate and discourse breaks down. Senator Roberts, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Krista. Thanks for having me.
I think that the criticism leveled at you, whether it be by Planned Parenthood, by other leftist organizations, is patently unfair. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I had honestly answered a question to my local hometown reporter after the session ended. He said, you know, your name keeps getting floated out there as a possible candidate for the Republicans in the U.S. Senate race. And he said, so are you going to think about it? I said, honestly, thinking of the average person's definition of thinking, not a Hillary Clinton, no, I'm not thinking about it while you're developing your whole campaign years ahead. I actually meant I was going to go home to Durango, unpack my boxes, reintegrate with my family and my community, and think about whether that was a choice that I would make. And from there, it went gangbusters because he put it in the newspaper, and the Democratic machine went, and I would say the Democratic nasty machine. I have a lot of friends who are Democrats who I think I could have had a cup of coffee with and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think the pros and cons are? And anyway, it just went, it was hateful. And a distortion of my record. I've been at the Capitol for 9 years. I would say almost all of my constituents would say that they agree with me most of the time, but not all of the time. My own husband says that on a regular basis in terms of the work I do at the Capitol, and I'm okay with that. I don't think we should have to be in lockstep with each other. And apparently just by thinking about whether I might get into the U.S. Senate race was enough to send people to the moon and back. So, yeah, it hasn't been a pleasant experience. I would say I have since stopped thinking. So because I publicly said I'm not thinking about it anymore, all of a sudden it has magically disappeared from the Democrats. But they were sending three trackers to my community meetings that filmed everything I did. They were plastering the newspaper with letters to the editor, again, distorting my record. And then, unfortunately, my own hometown paper seemed to join in. So I really appreciate you raising this issue because America, I think, was built on diversity of background, diversity of thought, and we are losing that.
I think they must have really feared you getting in. And that's why they went at you with two guns blazing. And before you got in, they were like, oh, we really like Ellen Roberts. We think she's a fantastic senator. And, you know, she crosses party lines sometimes. She works with us. They were all full of compliments until you said, you know what? I just might think about running for Senate. And then suddenly those handshakes really became knives in the back.
Well, that's true, and I would ascribe it to the people who are the strategists, because, again, I know I have to believe that in my heart that some of my Democratic senator colleagues, even in the House, would have been internally very uncomfortable with the attacks that were coming at me, because we do deal with each other on policy, and I try and find that common ground. I don't care if somebody is a Democrat, Republican, unaffiliated. If you're going to come to the table and try and figure out some of the problems that the state faces, and we do have a number of problems, I don't care what your label is. Just bring your thoughts to the table, and we'll see if we can find a solution together. I think that history is what people responded to, and there are colleagues, both Republican and Democrat, in the legislature today that do that. But the strategists, the operatives, all those folks wanted to define me before the rest of the state got to find out who I am and what my background is. And, you know, unfortunately, if you don't have a large amount of cash in your campaign account, if you have one, to counter that, even at the front end, it was, to me, as I looked at it, I thought, this is a really huge hurdle. And my thought is we need to form a new group of free thinkers, and particularly female, and call it something like We Got Your Back, Girlfriend, because we have a real lack of support for women who are independent thinkers. And they may be right of center, which is where I'm more comfortable, but they might be left of center. But I can tell you the far left certainly has that covered for their women, but I wouldn't consider them much of free thinkers.
Well, and you're in a difficult position. I find that being in the middle is always the hardest, because you end up being hit by both sides. There are purists in our party that would not be supportive. I think that you do a great job representing your district. I think you are a great fit for that district. I think that district is blessed to have you. And it frustrates me when you're getting fire from the right for not being conservative enough. Meanwhile, the left would like nothing more than to take you out. You're really always fighting a two-front war, it would seem.
Well, and I'm used to it. I have had, when I first ran for the state house, I had a primary on the social issues. Then I had, and I won, and then I beat the Democrat in the general election. Then I didn't have any opponent when I ran for re-election in the House. 2010, I decided to run for the Senate seat. A Republican, hadn't had that seat for about a dozen years, even though registration advantage was definitely in the Republican side. But when I ran, I had a primary again on social issues, beat my primary opponent, and went on to beat the incumbent, who was a Democrat. So I've been through the meat grinder from both sides. I do hope that Republicans will see that we should follow Ronald Reagan's idea of let's find that 80% that we agree on rather than focusing on the 20%. But what I've seen at the Capitol, and I've seen it actually get worse, I think, over the last 9 years, is the discipline exercised on the Democratic side of the aisle, where I have friends who are more free thinkers, but when they exercise their own thought process, thinking of their district and their own internal, what their belief system is, if they step out of line, it is brutal. And again, Republicans have done that as well, but I, for all the perception that's out there in the world that Democrats like a great big umbrella and everybody can fit under it, that's not what I've seen. And I won't name names, but I have seen some very, even this past session, where people got slapped into line very quickly. And it's going to take brave people to step out from that and say, no, I got sent here to use my own brain and to represent my district. And people will appreciate that. It's hard, but they will appreciate it.
Well, one of my favorite legislators has always been, and she's retired now, is Nancy Spence, simply because sure. I felt like she worked really hard for the party. She raised money. She helped out other candidates. She was a total team player. But when she wanted to vote differently, she did. And I actually, even though I didn't always agree with her, I admired the fact that she was 100% for the party, but also 100% for her own free-thinking, independent mind as well. I thought that she was able to carry both of those very well. I think that you do the same. A vote that I think is interesting is you're pro-choice. You've been open about that. but you supported the fetal homicide law. We're going to, I don't know that it came up for a vote, but you said you would support this because it had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with abortion. It was all about the intentional murder of a child in utero. And yet, after you supported that, the Planned Parenthood and others came out after you.
Right. And I appreciate you bringing up that topic, because something I'd like to clarify, I used to think I was pro-choice. When I was a normal person, not a politician, I thought that meant if you didn't want abortion entirely banned, made illegal, that meant you fell in that category of pro-choice. I made the mistake a couple weeks ago. I was on a conservative radio talk show, and I said I never used the words pro-choice. I'm not even sure I got to explain that. And that's part of my problem, is I usually want to put things in context. I'm not a great soundbite person. But the bottom line was, I found out day one of my first year in the legislature that if you're not in the Democratic Party, then they don't want you. The whole pro-choice thing is much more narrower than what I had perceived. I voted for parental notification in the event of a teenager having an abortion. That's when I got taken to task by the Democrats, saying, you can't be pro-choice if you support parental notification. I was like, fine, then don't call me pro-choice. And I tried throughout my career at the Capitol to avoid using that phrase, because clearly the people who thought they were pure pro-choice didn't include me. When we had discussion of a religious freedoms resolution on the Senate floor, I take religious liberty extremely serious. And so I made a very strong case that pushed back on that war on women language that the Democrats kept using, as if there are no Republican women, that we would be warring on ourselves. So in the heat of the moment of that debate, I was trying to make a point to my Democratic colleagues that somebody who at one point thought she was pro-choice, is a Republican, and is a woman, was not buying into the war on women shtick. Well, when I said on the radio show, as a politician, I've never called myself pro-choice, I forgot that in 2011, in the heat of battle, I did say that because I was trying to drive home a point to the Democrats. Well, within 24 hours, the blogs had pieced together that time in 2011 and the radio show clip to say that I was wishy-washy or flip-floppy or whatever. As far as I'm concerned, put me in category number three. The pro-life folks who are extreme pro-life, no exceptions, would never accept someone like me, and I found that out through the primaries. If the pro-choice people say you've got to take it 100%, Planned Parenthood gets to define pro-choice, okay, I'm not in that category either. Fetal homicide is something that happens without the consent of the woman. The bill that was at the legislature this year was in part derived from the horrible Longmont case, where a woman who was carrying her baby to term, was buying clothes for this baby, was exuberant about having a child in another month and a half. She had her baby cut from her womb and the baby died. We have heard this kind of case, unfortunately, of different variations over the last several years, and Colorado has refused to pass a law. And by Colorado, I mean, frankly, the Democrats at the legislature have killed the bill every time. No matter, we heard about prostitutes who get beat so that the baby they're carrying, they're pregnant, and they lose the baby. The pimp doesn't want them to be pregnant. Prosecutors said, we don't have a mechanism, we don't have a charge to go after someone who does that kind of brutality for the loss of the life of the fetus or the baby, whichever label you want to use. It was, to me, pretty commonsensical, but Planned Parenthood came out and repeatedly said, you cannot support fetal personhood issues and be pro-choice. Well, this was fetal homicide, so that was very slick to keep using the word personhood, but you can support fetal homicide and be someone who doesn't want abortion entirely illegal. And I had a Denver prosecutor send me a couple of law review articles just in the last week or so to demonstrate how those are very different. But according to Planned Parenthood, it's impossible. And I would say otherwise. I mean, again, I think women and men need to use their own minds and not be led around by groups who define for us what we think.
Hey, there's nothing worse than having somebody else define you. It is interesting that if you look at the breakdown of the American public, 20% would like to end abortion. I'm actually in that 20%. 20% want to have abortion on demand, basically even up to having people pay for it, taxpayers pay for it, third-term abortions, that kind of thing. 60%, the majority of Americans want some kind of limits. So I guess you could say 80% want some kind of limits. 60%, of which I think you're square within that, say, you know what, parental notification, you know, perhaps limitations on late-term abortions. These things are common sense things we can all get behind. You're in that mainstream, and yet you've got Planned Parenthood coming after you because you are not the purist they want you to be. Do you mind holding over the break? I've got one more question for you.
Sure.
Great. And while we're on break, think about this. I'm wondering if we are coming to the end of public discourse and if things are not worse now than they ever have been. When we get back, we'll continue our interview with Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango. We'll be right back. We're finishing up our interview with Senator Ellen Roberts from Durango, just talking about public discourse and how dishonest it can be, how nasty it can be. And I know, you know what, there's always been a nasty side to public discourse. All you have to do is read a few things by Adams and Jefferson to know that they didn't pull punches. But I just have a feeling, and, you know, I can't say it's more than that, that things are becoming more polarized, more divisive, and, yes, a bit nastier. Senator Roberts, what have you noticed?
Well, I think when we see the number of unaffiliated voters rising nationwide, but in the state of Colorado, that's a significant sign that people are saying neither party is sounding like something I want to belong to. When we see our young people, the millennials, who are also disaffected, they're not seeing a place where they're allowed to think for themselves, I think they too are struggling to find a place in the public discourse. I have been involved with what's called the Colorado Youth Advisory Council at the Capitol since 2008, and it's a bill I carried, and it has 40 kids from across the state of Colorado, from all backgrounds, rural, urban, conservative homes, liberal homes, and these kids from the ages of 14 to 18 come in four times a year and meet as a group to identify issues that are important to young people. These kids are just amazing because it's not about video games. It's not about boyfriend, girlfriends. It's about what do these teenagers think are really important issues to Colorado.
Senator, we've only got about 5 seconds left, but I really appreciate what you're saying. The new generation, many of them want to talk about issues, not character assassination.
Right.
Thanks for spending a half hour with me. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
When we get back, your call, so stay tuned.